And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well and had a good weekend. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? How was your weekend? All over the place, old Joe Rex Road.
It was an active weekend, that is for sure. Very active weekend. And I think my computer may be about done. I barely made the show. Like, I made the show by about a second there. Like, my router keeps just losing Wi-Fi networks. And then I have to, like, reset the entire network.
The struggle's real.
Forever. Yes. So, but, I mean, honestly, I was texting you guys up. And I was like, man, I may not be making the beginning of the show. So
we're glad you did.
We're all good.
Hey, the Michigan State contest, much better game than I thought. You know, I knew it would be close, but a much more aesthetically pleasing game than I thought it would be. Shout out to Big Ten football.
Yeah, I mean, as usual with me, you get great analysis, finger on the pulse of sports. So, you know, I called a Michigan win in like a 17-13 grinder game,
yep.
And it turns out to be this just wild up and down. That was great, man. Great, you know, very, very rarely do I, you know, sit in the stands for like a sporting event, you know. So to be there with Katie, but especially – super duper fanboy Brennan for that game was pretty cool.
Big weekend for Brennan. Michigan State gets the victory, and it looks like Brennan's going to take down Joe Rex Road in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League too.
Yeah, and I talked trash to him yesterday too. As they're driving home after dropping me in Indy, you know, I was like looking good, and I texted him, you know, talking some trash, and then, you know, then I kind of lost track of it. Colts, Titans, great game, yeah. Covering the game, get a text from him, and I'm like, wait, you beat me? Oh, God.
It's a tough
but,
one.
Yeah. I mean, oh, whatever. I'm going for the number one pick.
That's right. Going for the number one pick next year. Michelle, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing great this weekend, Rob. You know, those texts from Rick just really made my morning.
Yeah, Rick, very nice on the text line this morning, both to me and to Michelle. So we appreciate you, man. You, Rick. Texting in.
Now I have to check this out.
We'll welcome your text all week long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michelle, did you say you were 5-1? Pigskin pick'em?
And the one game, my lock, yeah. Kentucky football. No words. Absolutely no words.
We'll have a lot to talk about with Kentucky football and Tennessee this week. But, Joe, I think Tennessee has some reason for optimism heading into this game. Some reason for optimism. So we'll see what happens. On that
problem. Yeah, no, I agree. Look, also, I think a little bit lost in this, and even when they were here, you know, it's hard. It's Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt almost won at South Carolina, had a chance to beat Missouri. I mean, they, you know, 45-6 Mississippi State up here. I mean, like, that's a much better football team second year under Mike Leach than they were first year. No doubt about that.
They beat A&M earlier this season.
Crazy Pirates got them rolling out there, man. Got them rolling.
I don't feel like people are really talking much about him, which I get. I mean, there's still a, you know, they've had their ups and downs, but yeah, that's a pretty big step forward.
As we learned, Mike Leach not participating in that candy corn nonsense yesterday. Made that very clear after the win against Vanderbilt as well. So, Joe, let's get to it. What a win yesterday for the Titans, 34-31 in overtime. That game was awesome to watch. It was so dramatic to end the game where you think the Titans are going to win it on a brutal pick six by Carson Wentz. And then the Colts drive down the field with the help of some penalties along the way, tie it up. They win the toss in overtime. You're thinking the Titans had one there for the taking and they let it slip away. And then ultimately Kevin Byard makes a play in overtime. Randy Bullock, my favorite Titan of all time, comes through at the end of the game and the Titans escape with a 34-31 win in Indy to improve to 6-2 and really take a stranglehold in the AFC South. There's a whole lot to get to with this game, and we're going to get to it all show long here today. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But Joe Rex Road, you were there. What a game that was for the Tennessee Titans. What a game that was in the NFL yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they can be wild, but I don't know if they can get a whole lot wilder than this one. Excuse me. And like you said, you kind of thought, okay, well, there's the game-winning slash game-losing play by Wentz, which, you know, like, you don't want to take a safety there, right? Because if you do, not only are they ahead of you, but you have to kick to them. So you know, actually letting them have a touchdown, which, of course, I don't think was the intent, but them getting a touchdown gave the Colts a chance to do what they did. But the thing is, even if Elijah Molden doesn't catch that pass, it's going to be a safety because it's going to be grounding in the end zone. You know, so, I mean, really, it kind of worked out lucky for the Colts that Molden gets the touchdown. And, I mean, I think both fan bases felt victimized by the officials yesterday, and there were wacky plays all over the field. But ultimately, I mean, I think I have to steal the analysis of friend of the show and my Athletic coworker, Stephen Holder. He's like, we're talking for the game. He's like, who do you trust more? Like, I trust the Titans. You know, they're not perfect, and they've got injuries, and that keeps being a thing and maybe more of a thing, but like they're actually trustworthy in the AFC relative to the rest of, which I hadn't thought of it in those terms. And I think that's an interesting thing to say for a team, again, that lost to the Jets, like the Bengals have now done, by the way. But the Titans have a certain, less confidence, I think, in these close games. A certain, like, just they've been through a lot of these. This core group of players has been through a lot of these situations, and they just are really able to keep going. They're not going to win them all because, again, the Jets was an overtime game. I mean, three of their four road games this year have been in overtime. But more times than not, seems like they're probably going to make the play or two to win a game.
Well, and, you know, it's a credit to them because, you know, they've gotten to the point, at least in my mind. I mean, they go down 14-0 really before you can blink yesterday, and Indianapolis looked like they might come out there and just jump all over the Titans. And they even then, at that point, you know, like, I looked at my wife and I said, you just watch. They're going to come back in this game. Like, they're not just going to go away. They'll come back in the game. It'll be a game. And, you know, before halftime, it's a game. So, you know, the 4th-and-3 – at essentially midfield that Frank Reich decides to go for. I get it. You're trying to be aggressive there. But in retrospect, you've got all the momentum in the game, and you're trying to hit another fourth down there, and you don't get it. And that lets the Titans back in the game. They come down and respond. That was a big decision. Probably one that's not going to get talked about a whole lot today based on everything that happened in the game. But that early decision to go for it on fourth down came back to bite the Colts.
No, I thought so at the time. Like, you know what? This is one of those times where you're doing great, punt and make them earn their way down the field rather than give them a freebie. Not a freebie, but they got a short field, boom. You know, that's the tight end drive for the Titans, where all of a sudden it's like, let's just throw the tight ends on this drive and then never again, you know.
yes.
But honestly, that was another, I think that's a key moment early in this game that the Titans got that stop. And really, that was as simple as Carson Wentz missing a throw, too, because Pittman, I think it was Pittman, was there. He had space on the sideline. He just overthrew him. So I agree. That was a big moment. A lot of people around here not happy with Frank Reich. And I think there's another fair criticism on Jonathan Taylor. I mean, the guy was really good and I thought, especially late in the game, when you want a big, powerful running back on your side, like the Titans certainly know how that feels. He didn't really get the ball.
That's two games for the Colts against the Titans where I really can't believe the way they handled Jonathan Taylor. Like, you know, the first game we talked about it, it was different. Carson Wentz was a statue in that game, and I thought Jonathan Taylor would be a big part of the game plan. He really wasn't. And then yesterday, I know he got two big runs called back because of penalties. But even with those two runs called back, 16 carries, 70 yards, a touchdown, he's averaging 4.4 a carry. You give him the ball 16 times, and Carson Wentz threw it 51 times yesterday, Rexrode. Look, Carson Wentz has been a good story so far, and I think he's been, for the most part, pretty good for the Colts. I can tell you this, the formula to winning for the Colts is probably never Carson Wentz throwing the ball 51 times.
Exactly. No, and it's just, I mean, I feel like there were some moments, some situations was like, here you go. See if this defense, this Titans defense, which is, you've had success against them, you know, they've been on the field, see if they can, you know, handle them. I mean, again, I think there were some plays where they tried and the Titans did a pretty good job and bottled them up. But I'd want to see more of that if I were the Colts. But it turns out to be like that was the entire spectrum of Wentz, you know. I mean, some terrific plays. You know, the PI and everything never happens if he doesn't get that 3rd and 16 in to Pittman in the middle of the field with like the entire Titans defense around him. I mean, you know, he did some good things, but then obviously, boy, when he makes a mistake, does he make a mistake?
Yes, he does. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, NWI got his TD, and so far my prediction holds true that the Titans won't lose another game. It was a beautiful moment when friend of the show, Nick Westbrook-Akina, waltzed into the end zone yesterday, Rex Road.
Right. I mean, boy, it's guaranteed to be a Twitter festival when that happens. But, yeah, I mean, he was – you know, he essentially, essentially took Julio Jones' spot. Yep. You know, no, he got targeted 3 times. So 2 for 16 and touchdown. Marcus Johnson gets targeted 5 times. One of those was the pick. You know, a guy here, a guy there. You know, McNichols with a nice little play in there. Michael Pruitt, like I said, the tight ends. I mean, but essentially now they have gotten to – back to playing a whole game and dominating a game, A.J. Brown. I mean, 18 catches for 288 and 2 in the last 2 games, and really in all 3 of these games, this incredible stretch, Bills, Chiefs, Colts, wins to really change the outlook of this season. He's been great in all 3.
He has been great in all 3, and he was great again yesterday. 10 catches, 155 yards, 1 touchdown. Even try to pass. You know, if it was blocked up a little better, I think A.J. Brown may have thrown a touchdown pass yesterday. Made a great decision to throw it out of bounds, though.
Yeah. That one was one of those, like, the defender is right in your face immediately when you get the ball. So, actually, it was a good job of Carson Wentz can learn a little bit from what A.J. Brown did there. You know what? Just get the ball out of bounds. Live to see another play.
That's right. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road, talking the Titans win against the Colts 34-31 yesterday in Indianapolis, and welcoming your thoughts on the text line all show long, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation and break down a little bit more of what we saw in the final minutes of regulation and into overtime as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What a play yesterday from Kevin Byard. What a day yesterday from Kevin Byard. It was kind of a range of emotions, Joe Rexrode, for Kevin Byard, of, you know, taking the penalty. And, you know, he talked about, you know, kind of standing on the sideline, thinking about what his post-game speech would be like after they lost the game. And then Kevin Byard makes a big play in overtime, intercepts the football. And the man, my favorite Titan of all time, Randy Bullock, knocks one through to give the Titans a 34-31 win against the Colts. What a wild sequence it was at the end of regulation into overtime between the Titans and the Colts. And let's set the scene a little bit. You know, the Colts have this drive of apparently every time on third down there's penalties against the Titans, some of which were valid, some of which really upset me. We'll get to that a little bit more later this hour. The Titans come down. They're not able to capitalize on the ensuing drive. And the Colts get the ball deep in their own territory. Saw some Colts friends of mine on Twitter saying this is the moment. This is where you're going to find out whether or not Carson Wentz can be a franchise quarterback. And Carson Wentz drops back. Bud Dupree creates some pressure up the middle. They try a screen pass, and Danico Autry has that blocked off. That lane's blocked off. So Wentz rolls back around, and Bud Dupree gets up from the ground, and all of a sudden Carson Wentz is in trouble. He tries to shift the ball to his left hand to throw it to get away and avoid the safety. And Elijah Molden is waiting there. It's a touchdown, Titans. And, Joe, at the time, I thought that was going to be how the Titans won the game. The interception by Elijah Molden. What a play that was by him to be there. Obviously, Bud Dupree, Danico Autry deserve a lot of credit on that play as well. And I thought at that point, that was going to be the play that won the game. Now, obviously, we know what happened. Colts drive down the field. They tie it up. But you wanted to see Bud Dupree make some impact plays. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily all over Carson Wentz yesterday, but that was a pretty big play and a big moment for the Titans by Bud Dupree.
Yeah, no doubt. Bud Dupree, I would say that entire, you know, that entire pass rush crew was not as impactful against a better offensive line. The healthiest the Colts have been up front. And you saw, like, that's, you know, first of all, you see the difference, right, between the Chiefs O-line and how they played in Nashville last week and the Colts yesterday. I mean, the Colts, very good up front when they've got everybody together. But still, the Titans, you know, the Titans were able to get some pressure going, and that was just a huge play by Bud Dupree to be there and to have him wrapped up. So, you know, he had a couple hits. I guess the Titans only had the one sack. Yeah, you know, Landry on the little twist, putting him, by the way, at 8.5, which means that at this point in the season, 8 games in, no one in franchise history has been on a better pace than Harold Landry is now. So he's beating Javon Kurse's pace from 01 and Ray Childress going way back with the Oilers in the 90s. I mean, he's on as well, you know, obviously. So that is, let me do some awesome math. On pace for 17 sacks this year. But that was a much tougher, he had a couple hits to go with the, and he also had that forced fumble by Landry, you know, which Wentz got back, but it was a great play by Landry. So they had to really fight to get pressure. I mean, this was a good test of those guys and that. And I still think you come out of there pretty encouraged that, like, if they can have all four of those guys. And by the way, Autry and Simmons both at times hobbled off, but they came back. But if they can have all four of those guys going, you know, I think they're going to have a good pass rush. But that particular play, I mean, yeah, I'm with you. It's like, I mean, again, that's going to be the story of the game, is that Carson Wentz yet again had an outrageous turnover to lose a game. What's crazy is that actually did turn out to be the story, just, you know, a little bit more of a traditional turnover after it looked like he might be the hero.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, on that play in the end zone, like, they're obviously trying to set up a screen there, right? And Danico Autry is blocking that play off. And I'm just thinking to myself, dude, just throw the ball in the dirt right at the feet of Danico Autry. I mean, they're not going to call you for grounding right there when the running back's right behind you. Just throw the ball in the dirt, and you're trying to do too much. And, you know, at that point, I agree with you. I mean, you're trying to avoid taking a safety there. You know, I don't think he thought that Elijah Molden was going to swing in there and intercept the ball. But, man, what a decision that was from Carson Wentz. And then a great play by Kevin Byard in overtime. And we found out in the postgame from Vrabel that was something that Kevin checked to on that play. Had a conversation with David Long. Kevin Byard checks to that sort of coverage and makes a big play. It's, you know, we talked about it last week. Kevin Byard continuing to make big plays for this defense. And a lot of conversation yesterday of, is Kevin Byard going to be an all-pro again this year? I think that's certainly on the table at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, so he I guess because I asked him specifically, like, did you change the coverage? And he said, no, it was changing basically how they were going to cover something, you know, without getting too specific. But he changed what David Long did on the play. But, I mean, he came a long way. So that's obviously – just like in all these games, I mean, there's repeat plays and routes, you know, combinations that you get more familiar with as a game goes on. I mean, it's not going to be new every time. And, like, he clearly knew or had a really good idea of what Wentz was going to be looking for in that play. And Wentz is just, I mean, he looked at it the whole way. And, I mean, just a great play. Just a great play by a veteran. And, you know, the PI was obviously not good, and he said, like, he got beat. He thought the route was going to be in breaking. He was kind of thinking post. He ends up going hard to the corner, and, you know, he catches up, but was trying to time up the ball, obviously got there early, and you're like, man, they are actually going to let them score that touchdown. But that's, again, that's another example, I think, of the Titans able to, you know, get through even, like, their own bad mistakes, you know, and keep playing, which everybody talks about, and some teams do sometimes, but, you know, again, they for the most part, they just do seem to have this confidence that they're going to get through that stuff.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in, Can you guys explain to me how Carson Wentz wasn't down on the 3rd and 16 where he throws the jump ball to Pittman after Bud Dupree almost got the sack? He clearly holds himself up with the ball, and I always thought if you use the ball to hold yourself up that you're down. Am I wrong?
First of all.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's the big play where he chucks it up and there's four Titans around the ball and Pittman somehow comes down with the ball. And I was thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, how in the world have they allowed this to happen? You know, I didn't get a good look at the replay. I thought at the time that he may have been down, but quite honestly, I never saw a replay on it because the broadcast kept going and they were running the next play and getting up there. So I never really saw a replay of whether or not Carson Wentz was down. If it was him just holding himself up with the ball, I don't think that's down.
No, only if, I mean, if he's touched, maybe. That may be true. But it's just like in the NFL, you can go to both knees and then get back up if you're not touched by a defender. So I'm actually, Ben, I appreciate the question because there was a bunch of stuff coming at me on Twitter about that, you know, like during overtime. And I'm like, I don't even know what player you're talking about. I had no idea that happened in that play. But I don't believe that if you go down in any way, if a defender isn't contacting you, that you're down. You can roll around on the ground and do a backspin, you know.
Well, I think he did get tripped up a little bit on the play, but I don't think he was ever down. Like, you know, the ball was on the ground, but
he was tripped up. Yeah. So I got it. Yeah. I mean, there's one of those plays that, I mean, you know, sometimes it's beneficial to just be watching it on TV versus being in the press box because it's, you know, chaotic and you don't see all the replays. But, I think you can keep yourself up with the ball.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah, I think you can.
I'm trying to find the rule right now. I heard that a lot.
Got a text that says, something has to be done about these pass interference calls. Make it 15 yards, not spot fouls. It's such a cheap way to me to move the ball down the field. And there's no question, not even just in the Titans game, but if you watch the Niners game as well with the Colts, they've been the beneficiary of some big calls down the field with pass interference as of late.
Yeah, I mean, look, and first of all, I disagree. I like it being a spot foul. I think in this league with professionals, you should have consequence. Because if you make it like college, I mean, we are going to see just guys ripping guys. I mean, they'll take that all day.
They're just going to be tackling people in the secondary.
Yeah. There's no reason. Look at the Colts here. They ended up with, you know, 307 yards in an overtime game, you know, in a game that went well into overtime. And I mean, they got 83 yards on two PIs, you know, they got a quarter of their entire offensive day, on two plays where they just heaved it up. And again, I mean, look, I have a feeling you and I may disagree on some of these penalties, as we discuss them coming up in the show. But the bottom line is if you're late and catching up like that, then a lot of times you're going to be in trouble. It takes a lot of awareness and timing and feel to be able to turn and play the ball, you know, in the air when you're catching up with a receiver. And the Titans did not do that well on those two plays.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do we make of the defensive performance for the Titans yesterday? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday, a 34-31 win for the Titans in overtime against the Colts. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe, an interesting day yesterday for the Titans defense. Jeffrey Simmons goes down early in the game, and you know he's over there getting his lower body looked at on the sideline, and you're thinking to yourself, well, great, that's exactly what the Titans need right now. Let's just lose Jeffrey Simmons because they've not had enough injuries to this point. He's able to come back in the game. You mentioned earlier Danico Autry at one point goes down in the game. There was a collision, may have been with Chris Jackson, I think maybe, in the secondary, and he got hit right in the knee, went down. Eventually came back in as well. So avoiding some potential disaster there on the injury front on the defensive side of the ball, but did not start well defensively in that game for the Titans. The Colts marched right down the field on their opening drive. They score a touchdown, and then a bad pick, a brutal pick, by Ryan Tannehill in the first quarter, and Indianapolis scores on the next play. So before you can really blink in that game, you're down 14 to nothing. But obviously, we've played the audio of the interception by Kevin Byard, the play by Elijah Molden. Defense comes up with some big plays in this game. You know, Joe, this defense isn't perfect, and, you know, they're not going to be, I think, you know, a top 10 defense by the time everything is said and done this year. But the difference that I've seen, number one, the pass rush, still at times, even in games where it's not as effective as it was against Kansas City, still making some big plays for the Titans yesterday, and they've just got guys finding the football and making some big plays at the moment, and that happened a few times again yesterday.
Yeah, and look, Monty Rice comes in with Rashawn Evans is a late add to the injury report with an ankle on Friday, just like Amani Hooker.
Yep,
was a late add. Now, there's also the conspiracy theory with this. You know, the trading deadline coming up. Rashawn Evans probably going to be somewhere else. Maybe someone out there is interested in Rashawn Evans. I don't know.
Maybe so.
Hey, you never know. But he's on the injury report with an ankle, so Monty Rice has to come in. And I thought Monty Rice, you know, I thought Monty Rice was fine. I mean, he was second on the team with seven tackles. He had one of the seven passes defended for the Titans. One of the nine passes defended for the Titans. Molden with a couple, Byard with three. But, you know, he stepped in, did a decent job. You know, you still look at a lot of these spots on the defense and say, okay, when Fulton comes back, what does that mean? If and when they have inside linebacker figured out, what does that mean? David Long continues to just be all over the field, nine tackles, two QB hits, a pass defended for of his own. So there's some things on there that are starting to become weekly, things you can count on. Again, it doesn't mean that they're the 85 Bears. They're not locking people down. You're going to move the ball between the 20s on them, especially if you can protect your quarterback, which the Colts actually did a pretty good job of. But I think certainly this defense has a different confidence this year that it can get off the field on third down. Last year it felt at times like it was just a third and 14. Titans are screwed. You know, it doesn't feel like that anymore. You know, they can actually affect quarterbacks and make some plays in the back end and can get better. I mean, Christian Fulton could, in theory, return for the Sunday night football game in L.A. No idea if that's on the table or not, but technically that is possible.
Right, which would be a very welcome addition for the Titans if they could get him back in there. But, you know, here we are again. You know, Pittman, I thought, had a good game yesterday for the Colts. I mean, the guy, he's really physical. That's the thing that, and we knew that last year. I mean, 10 catches, 86 yards, two touchdowns for Pittman yesterday, including the play that we talked about a little bit earlier, just going up around four Titans defenders and high pointing the football, coming down with a big catch. I mean, I think he's a really, really good player. Other than that, I just don't think the Colts have all that much at the wide receiver position. I mean, you know, Pascal's okay. T.Y. Hilton comes back yesterday. I don't think he was much of a factor in the game. Although we'll say, here we are again, Jack Doyle, another touchdown against the Titans, man. He's Titans killer, Joe.
Titans killer, Jack Doyle. That's right. Yeah, and T.Y. got hurt too.
Yep.
So, he didn't really get much of a chance to do what he has traditionally done to the Titans. You know, they're 7-for-16 on third down. It's not like you're thrilled about that as a defense, giving up 43%, but they got some big stops in there, you know, and they got also a big fourth down stop. These coaches love going on fourth down. Titans 2-for-2, Colts 2-for-3. But I do think that the Titans were let off the hook a little bit by Frank Reich. Not seeing what you could get going with Jonathan Taylor in the fourth quarter of that game. Meanwhile, of course, the other side, the Titans kept hammering away with Derrick Henry, even though to me he was clearly limited. But I know we'll talk more about that later. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it was a resilient effort. The defense got put in some bad spots too. Let's remember that.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you're talking about a 7-yard drive for the Colts. You know, they had some short drives. You know, a 57-yard drive in the third quarter that leads to the Doyle, and that's all about the PI on Hooker. So the defense got put in some bad spots, especially early, and still ended up, I mean, really giving you a potential winning play, and then giving you a winning play that sets up Randy Bullitt.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dustin from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, texting in. We're finding out that Vrabel might be elite one day. We thought this team was doomed with injuries, but the more they play banged up, the more we see Vrabel can do a lot with a little. It has been very impressive to see what this Titans coaching staff has been able to put together, not only yesterday in the Colts game, but really through the 3-game stretch as a whole with the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Colts. Very well-coached games in those games by the Titans.
Yes, and you know, another thing that I think is present in this rivalry, and maybe it's not for them, but it looks that way for me because, you know, remember, Vrabel was up for this job, and I think at least one or two others. I think the Lions, lucky guy.
God bless him.
Yeah, stay the heck away from that bleep show. But I do feel like there's sort of there's always going to be this natural comparison between the GMs of these two teams, and we've talked a lot about that, about the genius Chris Ballard, you know, the darling of the NFL media, and then, you know, Frank Reich and Mike Vrabel. And right now, Ray Rob is winning.
Yeah.
Ray Rob is kind of kicking their butt at this point.
Let's go back to the text line. Joe from Maryland texting in. There are zero people in my family who are balding. I'm the only one, and I could solely blame being a Titans fan, but it feels good to sweep the Colts. Todd Downing was questionable yesterday. If he ran play action a little bit more, Leonard and the other linebackers were biting so hard on the run.
Yeah, there were a couple, like, are they going to just go with the run here on second and long, you know, that went backward? You know, I mean, there were a few calls that I didn't love. And I will say that one that I don't have a problem with, it just worked out. The Colts were, you know, the Colts were in position, guy made a play, but I didn't hate the A.J. Brown idea at all. But, you know, overall, I still think it's been pretty good on the Downing front, you know, especially relative to the expectations of some, especially the expectations of people who are Raiders fans.
Yes. Yes. I would say most part it's been pretty good for Todd Downing thus far. Even yesterday when Derrick Henry, as you pointed out, didn't get rolling all that much. We'll get to Derrick Henry's, you know, game yesterday and picture of him as a whole coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour. But, you know, still 28 carries, 68 yards for Derrick Henry yesterday. I mean, it was pretty clear the Colts were not going to allow him to get going. And, you know, given the situation that he was going through earlier in the game, getting checked out on the sideline, he had the shoe off, walking around. It kind of looked like Derrick Henry was not at full strength yesterday.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think that there were three or four runs where 100% Derrick Henry accelerates and turns them into, if not home runs, like big runs,
yeah.
You know, like 15, 20-yard runs where he gets to that next level, accelerates through, because those seams are they're rarely big for him. You know, let's face it. I mean, a lot of times he's just running into a throng of bodies. But even when he has seams, a lot of times, I mean, you've got to hit it now. And I thought that I thought if you played that those carries out with fully fresh, healthy Derrick Henry, I think he's probably got about 120 yards rushing. And instead, he ends up with 68. He couldn't get to that next gear like we're used to seeing him do. And I don't think there's any question. He's on the sideline with the trainers. He's looking something with his foot, ankle, you know, something. And then, of course, after the game, decided not to, you know, to talk and was getting treatment. So, yeah. Those two guys who have been just incredibly healthy for this team.
Yeah.
Finally, it's like, I mean, seriously, it's like a virus. It's like an injury virus on this team.
It really is. Coming up next, we'll get into the officiating from yesterday's game, which both Titans fans and Colts fans had a pretty big issue with while the game was going on and while the game ended as well, including some thoughts from Mike Vrabel on the officiating as well. That's coming up next. Right now, though, the final game of NFL Week 8 is tonight, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week, and all you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your first bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. The Chiefs and the Giants in action tonight, and I got to tell you, I expect a get-right game from the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. Give me the Chiefs on the money line. Give me Mahomes over on the passing yards. Give me Tyreek Hill over on the receiving yards as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. You get your winnings in as little as 2 hours. It's America's number one sportsbook. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Evanescence and Hailstorm at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, December the 3rd? Well, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Evanescence and Hailstorm live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, November the 8th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, breaking down a big Titans win against the Colts. Welcoming your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, a big story yesterday, both while the game was going on and after the game as well, was the officiating in the game. And Colts fans were griping about some calls that went the Titans' way. Titans fans were griping about some calls that went the Colts' way. And that's typically what we see on an NFL Sunday. But there were a few where I just looked around and thought to myself, what in the world's going on here? The A.J. Brown catch that Mike Vrabel had to challenge, I was looking at the time, like, you were standing right there as an official. It's very clearly a catch in real time, to the point where A.J. Brown was almost in disbelief when he got back up and would not hand the ball back to the official because he was like, are you kidding me? Did you seriously just call that incomplete? That play drove me nuts. A play that you and I are going to talk about here in a minute with Jeffrey Simmons drove me absolutely insane yesterday because now we're penalizing players for the officials not being able to blow a whistle. But we'll get to that here in just a second. Mike Vrabel had some very interesting thoughts on the officiating yesterday as well. Here's what Titans head coach Mike Vrabel had to say about the officiating after the game.
Some of the penalties, Mike, you said, never mind the ones you might have had beef with. Some of them seem like not very smart football. Does that frustrate you, upset you at this stage?
Well, which ones are you referring to? And we'll go back and talk about them.
Simmons hitting the guy in the back.
Just blow the whistle. You know what I mean? There's four guys on him. You know what I mean? Jeff's going to go to the full tilt to the tackle. And I felt like it was a late whistle. I'm not saying it wasn't a penalty. Felt like it was a late whistle. We've been down this road before. They need to blow the whistle. It's a player safety issue. But Jeff has coached and Jeff has been trained and taught to run to the football, you know, until the whistle. And there was far too many guys on that tackle not to blow the whistle sooner. So, you know, we'll have to keep coaching Jeff. But just so you know, the league said that in Jacksonville when he was running to the ball that shouldn't have been a penalty. Hooker, so he's going to keep running to the football.
Hooker failing to turn and find the ball.
Let's take a look at it in review. Let's take a look at it and see how much contact there was.
Did you feel like that was a trend today with late whistles and late flags?
Well, I mean, late flag, whenever they're confident. I mean, I just think it's mind-boggling that I have to challenge a catch that A.J. Brown makes in the middle of the field. I mean, there's seven officials, and there's replay official, and how many countless of other people, and I have to challenge, like I have to pull the flag out and throw it at that point in time, like, so, again, we're going to have to get better. To Paul's point, the penalties will hurt you. You know, I mean, the block in the back or the hole there when we're in field goal range. Like, that bothers me much more. That has to get fixed much more than an aggressive penalty they're on third down or, you know, deep in the back part of the field. Like, hey, we're trying to win the football game, man. We just are trying to get a couple yards and kick it, and, you know, we had a penalty.
Mike Onmeyer, PI, of the engagements of it all.
I just know that there was somebody behind him, and, you know, he was doing whatever he could do to keep him out of the end zone.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday after the game talking about the officiating. So, Joe, a couple of things there. Number one, I don't know what the response from the NFL is going to be on that, but I can't imagine they probably like Mike Vrabel just giving it to the officials like that in the postgame press conference, even though I loved it. I loved every second of that yesterday. Number two, the best part of that was him actually pulling the challenge flag out in the press conference and acting like he was throwing it, which was maybe the greatest thing I've ever seen from Mike Vrabel. But those two things aside, your reaction to Vrabel's postgame comments, your reaction to the officiating that we saw yesterday in Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, again, like I've seen enough like conversation both ways to see like there's Colts fans saying like, you know, the officials are why they lost, and there would be Titans fans saying that had their team lost. I agree wholeheartedly, and I'm fully in favor of that rant about the AJ Brown catch. Like, how does this happen? It's in front of
it's unbelievable.
I'm in the press box, like way up, like. And I could see that he caught the ball like in real time from like way far away. It's right in front of him. I don't understand how mistakes like that are made. And of course, the officials were very active. Again, we yes. mentioned earlier the 11 for 161 for the Titans. I mean, the Colts had 9 for 75. So there's 20 for, let me do some math here, 20 for 236 in this game. You know, there's 600 yards of offense in the game, 647 yards of offense, and there's 237 yards of penalties, which is, you know, ridiculous. I thought, you know, like the holdings and things like that on both teams. I mean, most of the replays looked accurate. Where I'm going to fight with you and with Vrabel, and I've already fought with everybody on Twitter, the Simmons one, look, I agree on the whistle. So the officials are culpable when it comes to player safety. If you don't blow the whistle quickly enough, then you open yourself up for something like that. So I agree. Also, unless it's 2002, you're a defensive lineman launching yourself into the back of a receiver who's going backwards because he's being dragged down by five guys, you will get hit with a 15-yarder 100 out of 100 times. Every single time, you will get nailed for that.
What are you getting flagged for? Is it a late hit?
Unnecessary roughness.
What's unnecessary? Why is it unnecessary? The play's still going on.
Because the guy's going backward, Robbie.
If he's going backward, blow the whistle.
I don't disagree.
Well, then it can't be both. It cannot be, hey, we're not going to blow the whistle. So the play is technically still live, but don't hit him. Like, it can't be both.
Sure, it can be. A play can be over and the whistle can be blown and you can hit someone in the face and you get hit with a 15-yard penalty. That is excessive hitting of a guy who's not going forward. There's no need. Like, if Simmons got in there and joined the fray and like grabbed him, then he probably doesn't get whistled. And again, I agree they should have blown the whistle, but he launched into his back. And especially if you are a D lineman or a bigger player and you do that against a skill player in this league, look, you can hate it, but you can't tell me you were surprised. As soon as he did that, I was like, well, let's see, where's the flag coming up? Oh, there it is. It's 100 out of 100.
I was absolutely surprised because the whistle hadn't been blown. It's ridiculous.
But I'm talking about the hit itself. You can't make that hit in this league.
It didn't even knock him down. What are we talking about here? You act like it was some vicious hit. Pittman didn't even fall down on the play. He never was down.
Watch what Simmons did. I mean, it's not even close. Watch what Simmons did. You can't do that. You can't. I mean, honestly, even if one guy had him and you go helmet to back like that, I could see the flag going out. But in that situation where he's done going forward, he's going backward. The play is over. Yes, blow the whistle. Agree. The officials made a player safety issue by not whistling the play dead. But you see a big guy launch into a little guy like that, dude, come on. In this league now, they call – I mean, if you grab a quarterback's foot, they'll call you for going low. And I mean,
you're right. I mean, you never know what they're going to call in this league anymore. So I get it from that point. To me, it was absolute malpractice by the officials on that play. Blow the whistle, and if Jeffrey Simmons hits him after the whistle, then throw the flag. But not blowing the whistle in that play, if it's so egregious that he's being pushed backwards and you're not blowing the whistle, what are you doing as an official out there? Like, what is Jeffrey Simmons supposed to do there? Just say, you know what? I assume that my guys are just going to make this tackle, so I'm just going to hold up here until somebody blows the whistle. Oh, wait, there's no whistle being blown, so I just keep standing here?
Well, okay, again, two things being true. Agree on the whistle. Why they didn't blow it, I have no idea. But if you're Jeffrey Simmons right there and you see that, again, four guys have him going backward, what do you need to do? Why do you need to do that? I mean, especially, again, if you want to get in there and just make sure and wrap him up, fine. He took a shot at his back. I mean that was a gimmick.
So now we can't hit him in the head, we can't hit him in the feet, and now we can't hit him in the back. So where can you hit him?
Well, you don't need to hit someone whose forward progress has been stopped. I mean, you know, like,
well, the forward progress has not been stopped because the whistle's not been blown.
But he's going backward. Like, he's not breaking out of that, and you got to be able to recognize that. He's not getting away from your teammates. Again, it's just like crackback blocks now. You can't do them. So what do guys do? They sort of like get in the way, a little bit of this, right? Hey, I remember when it used to be that's you would take your opportunity to just unload on someone, right? Okay, well, in a situation like that, if you want to be sure, then gently put your hands on him. But you can't do what he did. And it's going to get called every time in this league.
This is going to be a big story today. Had the Titans, like, that was the drive they lost the game on. It ultimately ended up not really mattering because they had to punt on that drive. But I totally disagree with you. I think you're so wrong on this. Josh from Dixon texting in. Joe, you are so wrong on the Simmons hint. I don't understand what you've seen. You were in a Twitter war yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I got it on Twitter. I will say, for whatever it's worth, I think TD was next to me, and he was like, yeah, but then I was like, but look, then we watched the replay. He's like, yeah, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's how it's called. So, again, this gets in the discussion of, like, football's gotten soft or whatever. Fine. If you hate that, hate it. But, like, that's consistent in terms of how they call things like that.
Well, it made it even worse because the next series, Derrick Henry gets the ball. He's going down and takes an absolute headshot, and there's nothing. So, what that is telling me is that the Jeffrey Simmons play is more dangerous than Derrick Henry taking a helmet-to-helmet shot right on the play, and there's no flag thrown. It's just ridiculous.
Well, look, there's inconsistency, and there probably is more with Derrick Henry, who takes big shots every game. But especially, you know, smaller guys with bigger guys hitting them, I mean, you know, that. And I do think that, like, Jeffrey Simmons, does he have a rep as he's had some penalties? I think some guys are probably under, you know, are being watched more than others. That's another thing with him. But, you know, look, I agree on the whistle. Anything else, though, I just don't know how, if you've watched football, that you'd be surprised if they threw that flag.
What'd you think of the PI penalties yesterday that were called?
Well, the Byard one was clear.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he tried to time it. I mean,
the Hooker one in particular.
Well, the Hooker one on replay looks a lot less. But in real time, you're still talking about not playing the ball and you're kind of running into the receiver. He made less contact on the replay than I thought in real time. But in real time, I mean, I certainly – that was like down where we were in that end zone, and I was like, that's a clear PI. It was less clear on replay. But again, like in real time, if you're an official, you see a deep ball, you see a receiver beat the guy, the guy not play the ball and come make contact with the receiver, I think you're throwing that flag 9 times out of 10.
I had less of a problem with those, mainly because on at least 3 instances yesterday, if you're the Titans and you turn your head around as a defensive back, you probably got 3 picks. I think one hit, I want to say it was Chris Jackson right off the hands too, and didn't even turn around on the play. That could have been 3 picks for the Titans yesterday.
Yeah, the underthrown PI. I mean, that's the Colts' best offense. It should be Jonathan Taylor, but they've gone to the underthrown PI as their primary mode of offense.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into Derrick Henry's day yesterday, what this means for the MVP race, and how concerned are we about his health moving forward. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.